Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And welcome back to the Screen Verdict Podcast. It's been too long. Matt, I'm excited to see you again, buddy.
I am too. Yes, I've had a bit of a break to life, busy life schedules. You and your wife, Bonnie, have driven all around America, right? You've done that since our last podcast, so it's been hard to schedule times. But don't worry, we haven't gone anywhere. Well, you've gone places, but we're back.
Yeah, you can hear the resentment in Matt's voice. Oh, Jonathan's been too busy Grand Canyoning to podcast. But now that I'm in one place for more than a night or two at a time, we've decided to podcast Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet. What a title. Matt, what do you think of the title? Do you like this as a name for a show?
I sort of. yes. I think this is what I think. Like, I'm sort of under the impression that, like, the show is, like, Mythic Quest. And I'm hoping, like, season one is Raven's Banquet. Season two is, you know, something else. Cavalry Quest or something. I don't know. Like,
so each DLC drops for the game.
Probably not Mythic Quest, Cavalry Quest, but yeah. Like...
I actually like it. I like it.
But yeah, I sort of think it's cool if the Raven's Banquet's sort of like a subheading for the season. If it's Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet is just the whole series called that, I'd question why they don't just call it Mythic Quest.
Yeah, I'm totally on board. I actually like your idea that each sort of DLC for the game is the new season, like Mythic Quest, Blood Ocean, or whatever they come up with. But yes, here's my opinion on show names. Show names shouldn't be funny. So I'm going to combine two topics here. So I'm going to combine the show names with sort of my expectations for the show. Obviously, this is a Rob McElhenney show. I think Charlie Day, Megan Gann, some other people created the show. But anyway, the obvious comparison is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And that's a top five show of mine. And if I think of my top five shows, do they have funny names? Well, I think of Seinfeld. All right, that's not a funny name. Arrested Development. It's kind of a clever name, but it's not really a funny name. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Kind of similar, sort of clever name. You could say there's two meaning there, but it's not trying to make you laugh. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Kind of a silly name, but is it funny? I don't know. This is Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet. You could argue that's not funny, but I think they're either trying to be funny by putting such a silly name, or they don't realize that it's such a silly name. They think, yes, we're being serious. They take the game seriously. We take it seriously. We're naming the show after it. But I just think it's silly. I think Mythic Quest would have been a much better name than Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet.
Yes, which is why I sort of assumed that it's going to be like a new one for next season. But I could be wrong. That's just an assumption I made. That's just an idea that I had. We'll see. I don't know if they've announced it. Who knows if this is public knowledge or not. This is a very hot take of yours, Jonathan, though, I think, particularly in these times that series names shouldn't be funny, right hot on the heels of big Emmy-winning Schitt's Creek.
Well, that's a good point. It won a bunch of Emmys. I would argue, not a good name for a show. I don't like it. I don't like the name of Schitt's Creek. Probably one of the biggest hurdles to watching it. It could have won all the Emmys in the world, could have had the best Rotten Tomatoes reviews. All of my friends could love the show, and they'd say, hey, check it out. There's this hilarious new show called Schitt's Creek. I'd be like, I'm out. I'm not watching a show called Schitt's Creek. That defines your show. If you as the writers and creators can't come up with something better than Schitt's Creek, how am I going to trust you that your show's any better? I'm not going to spend 30 minutes finding out whether it's good or not. Whether in 1 second, I know the answer to that because you just told me the show was called Schitt's Creek.
So wait, you don't like it because it's got shit in the title or because you don't think it's a funny joke?
My never previously discussed Mormon background and the associated sensibilities are offended beyond... No, not at all. just that it's such a low-hanging fruit pun is my main qualm.
Because it's about a rich family who lose everything and they end up in a town called Shriek, right? Look, but they're also, because of their situation, up Schitt's Creek.
Mate, isn't there already a movie called Without a Paddle? At least that was a clever, clever take on the same joke.
Okay, I like it. I think it's good, and it got it means on network TV whenever they say the show the name has to pop up on the screen.
Interesting. Okay, so don't love the title of the show. That's not really that important, though.
Have you been Creek?
I've seen 2 episodes, and it was better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't love it, so I'd be prepared to give it more of a chance, but I haven't gotten into it yet.
If you ever finish it, we can do a series podcast on it.
Okay. I'm glad that that was a suggestion for a future podcast and not you suggesting, hey, let's make this a Mythic Quest / Schitt's Creek podcast.
So the amount of time we spent talking about Schitt's Creek,
All right, well, let's tilt the scales back in favor of Mythic Quest. As I said, obviously, It's Always Sunny fan. Matt, you're a Sunny fan. What was your expectations for the show?
Like Rob McElhenney, I was excited to see a new show with him in, but I sort of also didn't have too much taste. I just thought, let's check it out. I think I had to do a few interviews for my other website work. For the show, so I thought I'll better watch some of it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I was somewhat excited to watch it, although Apple Plus, I mean, geez, I'm already paying for Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, what else? Showtime. I think we cancelled Showtime, though. Anyway, it's finally got around to it, so I finally watched the show. That was sort of the main hurdle, to be honest. Let's get into it. Are we going to do spoilers? I think we should do spoilers. This show's been out for like 6 months or something. What's your opinion, Matt?
It's a comedy, so we probably don't need to like go through the whole plot and everything. But I wouldn't worry too much about spoilers. So yeah, let's give a spoiler warning, but we won't be breaking down everything that happens in every episode. And yeah.
All right, we're covering our bases with a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler. Woo! You've been warned. Spoilers maybe, according to Matt.
Yeah.
Okay. Initial impressions, love the show. I'll be honest, guys. If past me, let's say pre-COVID me, time traveled, teleported through time, and landed at this table, and they could be here for like 30 seconds, they'd be like, they probably want to talk about TV, right? They'd be like, this is why we do a Screen Verdict podcast. They'd say, wow, Jonathan, COVID's been going on all this time. You've probably had lots of time to watch lots of shows. And I would say to pre-COVID Jonathan, I would say, you've had lots of time to watch the first episode of lots of shows because most of them suck. I've been really disappointed with my COVID viewing, you guys. There's been a handful of shows that I've gotten into, but I've watched a lot of pilots and I've hated a lot of pilots. So I was pretty nervous going into Mythic Quest, but I loved it.
Well, because you said before we did the podcast, you got strong opinions. So that, he loves it or he hates it. You love it.
Yeah, best comedy pilot I've seen in... I don't know. But Bonnie's giving the thumbs down. Bonnie, do you want to jump in quickly? Why are you giving the thumbs down?
Well, I think it's fun and the actors are cute, but overall, I just don't really connect to the plot.
Okay. Well, this is interesting because, Jonathan, you are a pretty keen gamer. You love your gaming. I think you've been in state lines to get into gaming conventions, your favorite team.
Why did you say that as if I violated parole in order to do that? I mean, I traveled to go to an event.
Of course you did. Okay.
What crime have I committed other than enjoying video games?
Well, I don't think when you say cross state lines, it's stating that you've committed a crime.
It was the tone. It was the implication.
This may be an implication, but...
Okay, yes. So finish your theory. I like gaming. Guilty as charged.
body less so? Is that fair? I don't want to make any... I've talked with Body less about gaming than you. So I've made the assumption that she's not as into it. Is that fair?
That's fair. The few video games I do like usually include either racing or trivia. But I don't get into a lot of the fantasy stuff, so I tend to be a non-fiction gal. I'm not a huge fantasy person.
Horses. If we could put horses in a video game, would you play it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what Bonnie needs for season 2 of Mythic Quest. Mythic Quest, horses,
and knights.
Hoaxes or something. I don't know.
There's lots of games with horses. Red Dead Redemption has horses. Assassin's Creed has horses. She probably wouldn't want to do any of the quests. She'd probably just ride around, but she'd have fun. Yeah.
Now, Jonathan, I know you're into shooter games, you Call of Duty type things, right? Is this this I guess is a different type of game as well.
Yeah, I never really got into MMORPG type gaming. I never played World of Warcraft or never played Skyrim or any of those kind of games. Probably the closest thing that I would have played is some open world games like an Assassin's Creed or a Horizon Zero Dawn. So some of the elements would be similar, but never played a game quite like this. I don't think that's particularly relevant. I mean,
no.
You don't need to run a startup to watch Silicon Valley. Like, maybe there's a couple of extra references that you can connect to. Like, there's quite a bit of jokes and storyline revolving around streamers, like people streaming the game as a career and how that impacts the gaming community and the developers of the game. But I think that it's somewhat common sense. I don't think you need to be a gamer to enjoy the show. Matt, you're not a big gamer. Was that a hurdle for you to cross?
No, I'm sort of more of a bit of a social gamer. I grew up on Nintendo 64, so like I really love the Mario games and Mario Kart and Mario Party and all those sorts of ones. The Donkey Kong games, like the best, my favorite game, I think, playing growing up was Banjo-Kazooie.
Classic N64 game.
Love Banjo-Kazooie. No, I don't think it was a hurdle. I think I tend to like workplace comedies more than like family comedies or like comedies about friends. You know, I like Veep, it's in a political office. I like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's in a police station. A bit less workplace, but like I like Cheers, it's in a bar, right? Like I like... When you get a setting, you put a group of eclectic characters together and you see what they get up to. It's a recipe for everybody. So video game development officers, yeah. I mean, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I love the setup and I love the cast. I love the characters that we have. Can't remember everybody's names, but Poppy, she's one of the developers. She's kind of the straight man. She's like a bit kind of like quirky and stuff too. Great facial reactions, expressions, fantastic actress. But she's kind of more rational than Ian, played by Rob McElhenney, who's kind of views himself as kind of like the Steve Jobs of video games in a way, with like a Chris Angel aesthetic.
Isn't it Ion?
Yeah. If you read it, it looks like Ian, but he pronounces it Ion or Ion. They explain that later in the series. I thought that was funny. Kind of like plays into who he is or who you think he is. Mm-hmm. Well, gave you the 1-2 Magoo there. F. Murray Abraham, I think, is a superstar on the show. Him being a Nebula award-winning sci-fi with storylines for the games, and is basically like an alcoholic that lives at the studio. I think he's some of the best one-liners, and has some great moments, kind of how he interacts with different characters, because you have people that work together, and then say him and the testers are two characters that you wouldn't think that would normally meet in a day-to-day whatever at the gaming development studio. So when they get together, that's kind of like a fun pairing. I like that, how throughout the season you got to see them in different situations and how they interacted with each other.
Yeah, no, it's good. Like, I really good cast. They bounce off each other well, and the more you watch it, or like, you know, you enjoy those relationships and dynamics. And I think, as you said, like Rob McElhenney's Iron is great. I love how there's this giant character. Like, well, one of the avatars in the game, like, they've got a giant picture of this character just on the wall, and it's sort of, you know, sort of a metaphor for how he feels about himself, you know, so that's great. And he's got this little window that he pokes his head out of, which is right in where the crutch is of the character, which I think is a fun little production design thing. But as you said, like, Poppy, played by Charlotte, I think Mikado, maybe, she's fantastic. And she's really someone I didn't know anything about before this show. Like, I've seen F. Murray Abraham, I've seen Rob McElhenney, but her, I'd never... And she's just fantastic. She knocks it out of the park. She's, I think, in some ways, gives the best performance in the show. Very likeable, quirky, funny, endearing. She's great.
Yeah, definitely breakout performance from her. And there's a couple in the show. Obviously, we also know David Hornsby plays Rickety Cricket. He's kind of like your lame executive producer. He was funny, although perhaps a little bit, all of his scenes were kind of the same, in my opinion. And then Joe, the young lady that plays his assistant, I think is hysterical. She's kind of obsessed with Iron because he's an alpha male and she's drawn to him, and she absolutely has no respect for David, her boss. And there was this kind of edgy scene, which was kind of... The joke was around her trying to get the 14-year-old streamer Pooty to kill himself.
Yeah.
And, like, Iron's telling her that it's not okay. And she keeps on saying things like, look, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and he's going to do what he's going to do. And at first I was kind of, like, off-put by it, but they just kept on drilling it and drilling it and drilling it until they won me over. I was cracking up by the end of the scene. So I thought they walked that tightrope rather deftly.
And played by Jesse Ennis, who I'm sure everyone knows from Better Call Saul. She plays one of the film school students in Better Call Saul.
Breakout role, first performance in a show that anybody's ever seen. First relevant television performance. First time she's been seen in anything that anybody actually watches. Yeah, great, great first appearance from her.
No, she plays the film school student in Better Call Saul.
I'm sure Better Call Saul is good. Matt loves it. I haven't seen it.
I think it was one of the best reviewed dramas of last year. Obviously, Verdict Award winner.
Yeah, all 11 people that watched it loved it.
Okay, very good. I don't know if, like, more people have watched Mythic Quest than Better Call Saul.
Probably not.
So Jessie, she's great. No, I agree, she's great. And there's Danny Pudi, the people know from Community.
Is he the money manager?
Yeah, he played Abed in Community.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. A very different role from him. I liked how singularly minded he was. He was just like the blood-sucking corporate guy. Didn't really care about anything else. And I alluded to them earlier, but the testers, I thought the testers were so cute. Dee and I forget her name, Joe and no. Anyway, whatever. The two game testers, I thought they were a really cute couple, really rooted for them. They're like friends, but maybe more in the future. Super cute. Yeah. Really liked them. So, solid base of characters. Do you agree, Matt?
Yeah, no, I agree. Solid base of characters, all the performances are good. The testers I like was probably, and this probably says, you know, more about me in this show, like, I'm less into the relationship drama than the video game shenanigans, so that wasn't the storyline I was most interested in, but yeah, everyone's great.
So I'm loving the show, right? We're a couple of episodes in, and each week or each episode, we're getting sort of a different element of how developing a game works and how running and on-running games work. Because this isn't a game that just wants its producers out there, because it's live, multiplayer, it's ongoing. They're always having to make updates to the game, always having to appeal to the reviewers, the streamers, go to the conventions, things like that. I loved it. Episode 5, Matt. Things take a shift.
Yeah. What, sorry?
They take a turn.
They take a turn. Yeah, episode 5 is very different, very critically acclaimed, but if you love this show, it's a different tone, so you might not like this episode. It goes back to, like, 80s or 90s and tells the story of a couple. Who got into video game development. Two characters who are not in the show before this at all. So it seems completely detached from the whole rest of the narrative of the story.
Episode 5 is one of the worst episodes in the history of television.
Whoa! Interesting. I thought you'd, yeah, I as you started talking, okay, you're even going to say best or worst. Like,
imagine if I like built it up and be like one of the most median quality episodes of television history. No, I hated it. I was the unmitigated gall. This episode was an absolute slap in the face. I hated this episode so much. It kept me up for hours. I literally couldn't sleep. I was so angry with this episode. Someone gave me this episode and didn't tell me it was part of Mythic Quest. They just said, hey, check out this short film. Go ahead and watch this short film.
Yeah.
I would have watched it and would have been like, all right, interesting setup. Kind of cute, really well acted. I like the soundtrack. Interesting themes. A little bit cliched, but I enjoyed it. 7.5 out of 10. So yeah. You might be thinking, Jonathan, how can a 7.5 out of 10 short film be the worst episode of television of all time? Because it was unearned. You did not earn the right to air this episode 5 episodes into season 1. This is one of the biggest blunders in television history since The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air aired a clip show as season 1, episode 8. A clip show, 8 episodes into season 1. That's a fact. Look it up.
Did they do that?
You can say, Jonathan, how did they not earn that? This is Rob McElhenney. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like 15 seasons of greatness or something. I don't care. This could be a combined show with Mitch Hurwitz, Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David, and Rob McElhenney. You did not earn the right 5 episodes into season 1 to just completely ditch every character, every storyline, and take us into the most self-indulgent, isolated piece of nonsense that has nothing to do with the show. I felt lied to, Matt. I sat down after a hard day of work and I was like, you know what? Today was a tough day, a long day, but I'm looking forward to Mythic Quest because Mythic Quest is funny, has Rob McElhenney, has Dave, and has F. R. Mary Abraham. I'm going to laugh for the next 30 minutes and forget about my long day. And guess what, Matt? None of those characters were in the friggin' episode.
No, Iron's in the last shot.
I retract it all. I take it back. My bad. I got that one wrong.
I'm looking up. I just Google search. Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, I could. Look, I know I'm in the minority here. So I kind of went to, like, do some, like, hate reviewing, right? Like, get on Reddit and stuff and be like, oh, man, I bet people skewered this episode on live, online. Almost unanimous love for the episode. Yeah. Nothing. I couldn't find anything but positive comments for this episode. And I get it. It was well made. It was good. People love Rob. It's something different that you would never see on a network, you know, comedy or whatever. But that doesn't mean I have to like it. Just because you're being brave and artistic doesn't mean it was good. You wasted my time with your brave artistry. I hated it.
That's interesting. So I was going to read out a few quotes from Google about how great it is, but since you already said that it was, like, I think, yeah, it's an interesting one, and I'm not surprised you don't like it because I know how much you hated the Fly episode of Breaking Bad, which again was just a departure episode that didn't really fit in with the overall story of the series and was this sort of just very different way of doing things. The difference, I guess, is The Fly from Breaking Bad was a polarizing episode. Like, half of everyone hated it, half of everyone loved it, whereas this one is you're on your own. Look, I like this episode. I thought it was good. I thought it sounded a bit different. But it's not my favorite episode of the season. I thought Jake Johnson and the actress from it, sorry, I'll give her a name. I think. What is her name? I feel bad I remembered the male actor name and not the female actor's name. It's partly because I've seen New Girl that he was in. It's not a gender-related issue, hopefully. It is, I apologize. why is it about this? Okay, so... Christine Milioti? Milioti?
So, I went to IMDb to find the actress's name.
She was in How I Met Your Mother, wasn't she?
I saw a little bit of that, but I think the earlier seasons. What I was going to say was IMDb, all of the episodes are rated between 7.1 and 8.3. Except for that one. Episode 5, A Dark Quiet Death, 9.4.
Yeah.
I want what all of you guys are smoking. This is not what the show is about, okay? The Fly sucked because Breaking Bad is an awesome show where a high school chemistry teacher makes meth and has to deal with gangsters and the police and not getting caught. Breaking Bad is not about Walter White chasing a fly around a laboratory for 60 minutes. Okay, Stranger Things is great, but because it's about a group of kids at Hawkins trying to get away from monsters, find their missing friend, find out what's going on with the Upside Down. It is not about Eleven going to have some goth weekend away in Chicago. Okay, that's not what the show is about. This would be great if it was his own thing, but it wasn't Mythic Quest and it wasn't funny. There's nothing I hate more than comedy shows that aren't funny. Just go make a drama. If you made like a show about gaming in the 90s that was serious, I'd probably watch it and I'd probably love it. But guess what? You made 4 episodes of a funny comedy called Mythic Quest before, and then you accidentally put this episode right in the middle of your damn season.
It does hit on the themes of the series though, right? The whole like art versus commerce. So it's not like completely about something different. Like it sort of gives a context for the themes that are explored in the series.
Yeah, because we were too dumb to pick that up when watching the show. We were too busy laughing at an actual comedy to realize that there was any sort of clever themes going on. And so they felt the need to say the quiet part out loud with this entire own episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not a fan. I liked it.
Okay, I've made my feeling.
It's a one episode thing though. Like, great, you're giving us a backstory. This is not what I want the show to become.
Yes. All right. So what happens in the back half, in your opinion, in terms of the style and tone of the show?
Yeah, I think it was, is that where they've got the masked man or whatever, the masked person who...
I think they had introduced the masked man character before that, but I think the reveal of who hacks the masked man is in episode 5 or 6. No, 6 yeah. or 7, sorry.
Yeah. Can I just go back to the quiet death thing? Right. I interviewed Jake Johnson about that episode, right?
Oh, lucky you, not me.
Yeah. Good thing I didn't speak to him, you before him about it as well. So I asked him about sort of that whole idea of compromising as an actor, like if he's ever had to compromise at ever in his career. And he said he thought when he first he said, when I started off as an actor, I was doing theatre. I thought everything about LA, about the LA version of acting, was less pure. Then I got here and booked a Yahoo commercial, made $15,000, and everything changed.
That's a pretty great line. Look, yeah. I had no problem with him in the episode. I thought he did. I think he did the role as well as he could have done. I thought he was great. None of the actors were the problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so he knows what it's like to sell out.
So the show sells out, and then it doesn't really sell out. It just does some nonsense. Anyway, yeah. The show continues, and it goes back to where we were beforehand in the storyline. But I feel that like there is a shift in that. It kind of becomes less about like, oh, here's a different element of a video game company this week or this episode. And it becomes, there's a kind of relationship struggle between Iron and Poppy.
Yes. And this show definitely veers into maybe more dramatic territory than other comedies like Parks and Recreation or Brooklyn Nine-Nine type workplace comedies.
What are my feelings on that, Matt? Did I not make that clear 10 minutes ago when making Mythic Quest? I'm not sure why they didn't take my opinion that I just shared with you 10 minutes ago into account with making the show. But there's nothing I hate more when comedy shows become drama shows.
Yeah. I sort of agree, but I still think it stayed funny enough that I was fine with it.
It was definitely better than episode 5. There were definitely funny moments, but I feel like it lost a lot because what made the show great was the interaction between the characters and the cast. There was some really good repartee in those boardroom meetings.
Yes.
We didn't see a single one of those in the back half of the season.
Really?
I would wager that... I don't like Iron barely had a scene with anyone other than Poppy and vice versa. Like, we didn't really get to see Iron and F. Murray Abraham again, or like Poppy and the testers again. Like, everything just became like talking scenes, just two people in a room, two people in a different room. And there were like funny storylines, but all of those storylines became separate. It was no longer like an ensemble comedy. Yeah. It became a drama with completely individual storylines and funny moments that just happened along the way.
Yes, and I'm glad there were funny moments that happened along the way. So, yeah, I don't know. I sort of preferred the series as it went on, but I don't know if it's because it got better or funnier or just because I, like, had gotten to know the characters a bit more, so I was more invested than the first couple of episodes where I'm still trying to get my bearings on the show. It'd be interesting to rewatch.
Yeah, I mean, look, what it did well. So there's this. I have this problem reconciling what I want the show to be and what the show is.
And it seems like the first 4 episodes were exactly what you wanted the show to be.
Yeah, so you might hear me say that, be like, well, Jonathan, the show is what it is. I mean, you have to adjust your expectations. You can't judge something based on what you thought it was going to be. I mean, you're wrong. You can't just imagine what something will be and then be angry if it's not that. And I would say yes.
That's video game show. Like.
I'd say yes. That's a fair criticism. But the thing is, it's not my fault. I didn't just imagine what the show would be. The show was what it was for the first four episodes and I loved it, and then they took it away.
Oh, you're Moses. You've seen the promised land. Yeah. You've got to walk in the desert.
Oh, I don't know. I'm so disappointed. Look, they did what they did well, right? Like, I thought the resolution between Iron and Poppy hit really hard. And then in the final episode, we do have a connection back to a dark, quiet death in episode 5. Yeah. And I thought,
then you were like, now it makes sense. You were like, this is it. Now that episode, I'm so glad they had that there, right?
I thought in the moment it worked and I enjoyed the final episode. Retroactively, does that make episode 5 better? Yeah, I mean, it might go from a 1 out of 10 to a 2 out of 10.
They'll take it.
Look, if they were individual parts, or if I had to just watch the back half of the season, or if that was how the whole season was, I probably wouldn't have loved it because it's not, like, laugh-out-loud hilarious, but I'd be like, yeah, this is a good show. I like what they set out to do, and they achieved it well. But the fact that they promised me, seriously, after 4 episodes, I was like, oh, this is the best comedy on TV. Probably the best comedy we've had since Silicon Valley. Maybe the best comedy we've had since Veep. I was so high on the show after 4 episodes, and for it to just take that off-ramp, it just that unexpected highway exit where there was no warning. It's, you know how, like, you've got the GPS and it's like, oh, in half a mile we're exiting. But no, this is just like your crazy friend that at the last second, just without indicating, just decides to take that exit and it throws you around in the car. I just got thrown around watching Mythic Quest.
Now, like, I'm like not a fan of dramas masquerading as comedies, but I like feel like you're sort of over. Like, I feel like this, like the second half of Mythic Quest, is not like as dramatic as you're giving the impression, right? Like, it's still a comedy series. Like, don't you still, I'm trying to remember because I've seen it a while ago, so I can't remember what comes, but don't you have the back half of the season, isn't Poppy dressed up in the motion capture suit dancing? Like, isn't that the second half of the season?
For an individual scene, there's a lot more of Ian dealing with Brendan, Poppy deciding whether she wants to go to that other company.
Oh, yeah, there's a dramatic turn, but it doesn't become a drama series, in my view.
No. Look, I'm slightly exaggerating. It is still a comedy. Just the weighting from comedy to drama goes from, like, 80-20 to 50-50.
That's probably true. that'd be about right.
All right, Matt, I'm done. I'm spent. Mythic Quest, it's got me all riled up. Do you have anything else to bring up before we do our ratings?
Mythic Quest. Well, the quarantine episode.
I haven't seen the quarantine episode.
Oh, what? We're doing a Mythic Quest episode. You haven't seen the quarantine episode?
That's not part of the season. That's like a DVD extra.
They did it ages ago. It was part of it. Like, they submitted it for Emmys for writing and directing and stuff.
I hate these friggin' Zoom episode stuff. They're all so bad. I mean, look, maybe theirs was good. I haven't seen it. I have no opinion, but I had no interest in watching it because all of these Jimmy Fallon, SNL, Parks and Recreation, whatever, that has attempted a Zoom-based episode of their show, they've all sucked. I'm so sick of Zoom in my real life. I don't want to see it in my comedy shows.
Here's my take. It's a top five TV episode of the year.
Oh, Matt. Do you is it funny?
Yes.
Okay. What's the ratio of comedy to drama?
There is drama too.
Oh my god.
As well. There is drama. They do it so well, in my view. They really lean into the what do they do with it? They really they set out to make an episode that is at the same level of quality as a regular episode. And they really use the Zoom type function and lean into it and sort of like make it work. I think it's really a high quality episode. There's some really fun scenes and things, stuff you can connect to the Zoom stuff. And they deal with the social distancing stuff in a way, but also touch on the mental health impacts of the social distancing in, I think, a pretty good way. So, yeah, anyway, I'd recommend that. I think that's a great episode. If you haven't seen Mythic Quest, you probably better to watch it after watching the season. There are a few references and mentions, but it is a bit more a self-contained one. But, yeah, I'd say... the quarantine episode is their best episode of the series. And you can't disagree.
All right, I'll have to trust you on that one.
Well, what? Like, it's like 20 minutes or something. Just.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that, Matt. A Dark Quiet Death, or whatever it was freaking called. 38 minutes. 38 minutes.
Oh, was it? I can't remember how long the other one is. But yeah, that was my last thought, the quarantine episode. Great job, knocked it out of the park.
All right, Matt, I need some time to compose. What's your screen verdict?
Mythic Quest, season one, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
I mean, including the quarantine episode in that score.
Bonnie just yelled, "That's generous." I've never been more conflicted on a screen verdict rating.
Whoa. We've come back with a big one.
Yeah. First four episodes, I'm going to give if I could separate it out, I'd give them a 9. Episode 5, I'd give it 2. And then the back half of the season, I'd give a 7.
Okay, well, you can mathematically work out what your score is from that.
I did the math.
Oh, you've done? Oh, great. I was about to get out some paper and pens and things.
Yeah, I was so flustered, I forgot we had the screen verdict interns.
Yeah.
Ended up doing the math myself. That comes out. That comes out to 7.3.
You gotta go 0.5 or straight. We can't get to point. You gotta go to a half, one way or the other.
Look, my gut and frustration with the show is telling me to round down.
Yep.
But my love for mathematics is telling me is telling me that 7.3 repeater, 7.3 infinite repeating infinitely, actually rounds up to a 7.5. So I'm going to do the honorable thing. I'm going to do what you're supposed to do, what Mythic Quest didn't do. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to round that up to a 7.5.
Pretty good score.
So despite the fact that I'm kind of all over the place and I'm very angry, we basically came together at almost the exact same score.
Yeah, well, I think I didn't like the first half of the season as much as you did, but I liked the second half more.
Yeah.
I think like I was a bit more like, my average James Rose was more consistent but less passionate either way. But you know, for me to come in at 8, I really like the cast, I really like the way the show's put together. It wasn't like I was a 5 the whole way through.
Yes. Well, okay. Look, I'll give the quarantine episode a go. I don't know whether to count that as part of season one or its own thing. Well,
in our next house, try to watch it before our next podcast, and we'll try to cover it in housekeeping.
Sounds like a plan. All righty, guys. I need a nap after that. I need to go play some video games.
What game are you playing at the moment?
I have been playing the Formula One racing game.
Oh, Bonnie might like that. She like racing games.
I think her favorite racing game is Beetle Racing. It was like a PC game from the 90s. But maybe I can get her into the Formula One.
A Mario Kart 64, baby. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, that's a good one too. So there you go. Let us know what you think. Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast. What video games are you playing? What did you think about Mythic Quest? What did you think about Episode 5? Am I nuts? Is Matt nuts?
We'll find out.
We'll read out your messages. Anyone sends us a comment or a direct message, we'll follow up with housekeeping on our next podcast, which will be, I don't know, Matt, what will it be?
We've got to do the MTV Video Music Awards, and it happened, but I've got no idea who won them, so we can review the music videos for that. There's also just a few other shows and stuff. Let us know there's one you want us to talk about, but I don't know what I'm trying to think.
We'll do a compilation of pilots that I hated.
Yeah, we could do that.
There's shows we both watched, so
we could do some pilot thing. Yeah, there's a new show. Like we never did a Killing Eve season 3 podcast, like things like that. We can always touch base on shows. Some movies coming out now, so I don't know Oscar season sort of creeping up. So there's plenty for us to talk about.
Yeah, there's lots going on, and if there's anything in particular you'd like to hear about, let us know. Facebook.com/Screenverdict Podcast.
I've been getting a lot of emails. Better Call Saul podcast requests. If you want to try to binge the 5 seasons of that, that'd be appreciated.
I like how you interrupt a plug for our own show, our own website, with just nonsense about some old show that no one even watches.
Okay, go with the plug. To request the Better Call Saul podcast.
Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast. Tell us why you're not watching Better Call Saul, why you gave up on it after episode 1 like I did, or whether you love it. Tell Matt why you love it as well. I'd be happy to hear it. It's probably good. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks a lot for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And now that we're back in podcasting form, hopefully we'll be back soon.
Oh, yeah.
Back with another one next week. See you then.
Yeah.